Welcome to the Still Caring Podcast, presented by Stillwater Medical.
Here, community is at the heart of healthcare.
Through honest conversations and shared experiences,
we explore what it means to care for our health
and each other.
Because better health takes a village, and you're part of ours.
Hello and welcome to the Still Caring Podcast. I'm Abby Fox. I'm the PR and marketing manager here at Stillwater Medical, and I am joined with my two friends who are co-hosts of this show. Joe, you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm Joe Aiken. I work in the Stillwater Medical Foundation, and I am the Senior Director of Development and Community Outreach.
Sweet. How long have you been at Stillwater Medical?
Coming up on 6 years. I started my first 3 years. I was responsible for the HR department. The last 3 years, I've been in the foundation and enjoying every minute of it.
HR during COVID times, that is no joke. Trial by fire, I bet.
100%. It was absolutely a challenge, but it was probably the most rewarding 3 years of my life.
We're grateful to work with you, Joe. Caitlin, do you want to introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah. Hi, guys. My name is Caitlin Lunsford, and I am the public relations communication specialist, and I just started this role recently in January, so I'm really excited to be here.
We're thrilled to have you as part of our team, for sure. So today we thought it would be fun, instead of having a guest on the show, to get to know the hosts and a little bit more about us and what we do and kind of what our stories are, because that is one thing that's so central to the theme of this show, is just the stories that are behind the lives that each one of us lives. And the things that, even though the three of us have been working together for a year, that we didn't even know about one another until we sat down to prep for this conversation today. So, Joe, why don't you start us off? Because I was really touched by your personal story and what you shared. So I'd love for the guests to hear that.
Sure. So I moved to Stillwater in 1984 and just haven't left. The community has been wonderful to me and my family. But my story that ties me directly to Stillwater Medical was in 2004. So that was a while ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was July 31st, 2004, approximately 1:32 o'clock in the afternoon. I was doing business in Oklahoma City, and I was driving back from the city, and I was very excited to get home for a lot of reasons. But I think the biggest was, the next day, we were getting ready to take a family trip to Florida, and we were all excited. So I was coming home to pack. The only problem is I didn't make it home that evening. So when you drive north on I-35 at mile marker 170, which is the Mulhall exit, the road, the highway curves just a little bit, and I didn't. And we still aren't completely sure what happened, but at full speed, without even touching the brakes, I hit the guardrail and I rolled my truck 5 times. I was ejected out of the sunroof. And when they found me, I was on my face and my right foot was on the side of my face. And what I had done, if you can imagine, this is your hip socket and this is your femur. When I hit the ground, I drove the femur up through the hip socket and it opened my pelvis this way and then rotated back. So I'm unbelievably fortunate to be here talking to you today. And it was everything that transpired after that that brought me to Stillwater Medical in a very personal way. I was life-flighted to OU Trauma Center, where an absolutely incredible surgeon put me back together. From what I understand, it was 3 days after the wreck when he did the surgery because he was trying to figure out how it would all go back together. But he did an amazing job. And after a week or two in ICU there, I was transferred to Stillwater Medical to the rehab floor. And that's when the magic started happening for me. That's when I really started understanding how much a difference an individual or a group of individuals can make for you in your recovery process when you believe they care. Because if you think about it, you can go to a hospital and people can be there to care for you, but that's completely different than them actually exhibiting true caring. And that's what I felt when I was there. I felt like they became my friends. I felt like they were my advocates and they wanted nothing more than for me to get back on my feet. So I was in their rehab area for an extended period of time, And when I finally got to go home, I was able to start my rehab work at Ortho Oklahoma. And my three physical therapists that I work with there, Joe, Ken, and Janelle, were absolutely amazing. I looked forward to the rehab sessions because I knew this is the work I was going to have to do to be able to find normal.
It was painful probably too, right? Like,
well, yes. I mean, it was. But at the same time, I had to go through the pain to figure out what life was going to be like after the fact. And so it was a few weeks of rehab before I was able to take a step. And I was in the chair. Janelle told me to stand up and she said, "This is the day." And I'm getting choked up. She told me this was the day we're going to take the step. And for me, I knew immediately that this step was going to give me the understanding of what really the rest of my life was going to be like. I hesitated for what seemed like 10 minutes to take the first step, because I just saw all these terrible things potentially happening, like a Tom and Jerry cartoon when they have a collision and just dust flies and springs go everywhere. In my mind, that's truly what I was afraid of. And I took that first step and that didn't happen. And I mean, I just broke down and Janelle broke down and we had a moment, and it was an incredible moment. Because at that point, I knew that it was really up to me to get to where I wanted to be. And if you saw me today, you guys know, well, I think you know, if you see me walking down the street, you have no idea that I'd been through that. But all of this is because of the people in the hospital and at Ortho Oklahoma that put so much time and energy, but I think more than anything, the caring nature that they express themselves to me every day, I didn't want to disappoint them. I wanted to make sure that I was there as much as they were there. And so that's what, for all the years, as soon as the Stillwater Medical opportunity popped up, I thought, you know what, this is where I'm going to end my career.
Well, Joe, you were here when I came to Stillwater Medical, and I have observed your passion firsthand, and I so appreciate that, because I feel it's genuine and I feel that from you. And so knowing that story and learning the background of that story, like, it all makes sense. So thank you for sharing that with us today.
Of course.
One of the things that I think is illustrated in your story that I see in my own is this concept of like better health takes a village. And so that's one of the things that we kind of founded this show on, is better health takes a village. And as you talk about the people from that moment of impact from your wreck, all the people that were involved in your care and what that looked like and what it took to get to that first step, I'm reminded of my own story. Because for me, I don't have like a big moment like that I could recall. But for me, it's all about family and starting a family. My husband and I, we had been married for 7 years when we decided that we were going to start a family. And we were thrilled, because you get like all excited to go into the doctor's office and hear the heartbeat for the first time. And so we were riding a high. And then we got in the doctor's office and they didn't find the heartbeat, but they're like, "This happens sometimes. We'll send you to the hospital. You'll get a picture and all that stuff." So we were excited. And then we got to that ultrasound room, and it was in that room that we realized there really was no picture of a healthy baby that we were going to walk out with that day. That was a really hard realization for us. And the days and months that followed, you know, we learned that it was a molar pregnancy. And so I needed a DNC, and there were going to be months before we could try again. And there were going to be regular blood draws that we were going to have to do. And so just going from the highest of highs to a very low space, that really felt really dark for me. But I'm reminded of all those days that I showed up at the hospital not wanting to be there to get another blood draw. But the warm smiles of the volunteers when I would walk in, and the registration ladies who kind of got to know me because I kept coming back regularly. And then the sweet lab techs who I would have to warn every time that I'm a fainter because I can't do needles. And they eventually, you know, they were so kind and gentle. And eventually after that time, it's like, I could do it without fainting. And it was really exciting. So then fast forward a year later, and it was in that same ultrasound room. after going through that whole process again, and the doctor couldn't find the heartbeat this time either, that we actually got to see a picture of our now 9-year-old son for the first time, and his name is Decker. So that has been kind of just a picture of how not only this health system has supported me, but the community really around me as well. Our family, our friends, so many people were so supportive during that time. Sometimes there's not, you know, there's a wait. There's nothing you can necessarily do, but just being there and witnessing each other's stories, I think, makes a big difference. So that's kind of why working for Stillwater Medical now means so much to me, is because we get to be there for people, not only on their highest of highs, but also in their lowest of lows and all those ordinary days in between. We get to be witness to that. So I love that.
I'm so glad you brought up the family and friends and community in your situation, because it is during those times that you really, truly figure out who your people are. I will never, ever forget that the first real meal I had when I got home was a delivered meal. And I had the best blackberry cobbler and vanilla ice cream that I remember a friend named Candy made it for us. And I can taste it to this day. And she actually, when we had the fires back in March 14th of last year, she, 2 days after the fire, she came by our house with blackberry cobbler and ice cream. And you'll be able to tell through these stories that I'm kind of a mushball, because we reminisced about when she brought it last time and we both broke out in tears. But it's fantastic. The community is fantastic. And when you find out who your people are, it's an amazing feeling.
And that's the thing. We just show up. Even if we're not sure what to do, you know, we just show up for each other. And that means something at the end of the day. So, Kaiten, how have people showed up for you in your journey? What does that look like?
Yeah, I really like what both of you guys were talking about. Even when we're unsure, it's really just presence that matters. So my story starts back home in my hometown. I remember waking up January 1st, 2021. I had just said the night before, I was so happy that I made it through 2020 without getting COVID-19. And I was just so excited that I'd made it through the year of, we all know what 2020 was like. I mean, Joe worked here, so we all understand how scary and frightening that was. And so I woke up that morning not feeling well. And I later was told that I had got COVID-19. And at that time, the recommendation was to quarantine for 2 weeks. So I remember I was a junior in high school and I quarantined for 2 weeks. And there weren't fully formed studies out yet that articulated what would come after COVID-19. It was kind of just, you quarantine and then we're going to see what happens. And so I remember those whole 2 weeks, I couldn't leave my bed. You're just so exhausted. And every time I tried to leave, I would just suddenly become very faint and I would pass out or my heart rate would spike very high. And so I went to many, many doctors and many cardiologists, and they'd put all the patches on me and monitor my heartbeat. And I was a runner. I mean, my heart was supposed to be healthy because when you're a young athlete, you're eating and drinking and doing all the right things. And, you know, your heart's healthy because you're running miles and it's supposed to be normal. And so I remember I tried to come back after 2 weeks, but I couldn't even stand up from my chair without my heart rate spiking above 200. My parents and I were like, this isn't normal. And we need to figure this out. So I've been going to physical therapy for 2 years prior to that because I was a runner with bad form. And that just means you have lots of aches because you don't have the proper form to run. So he was like, let's just see what's going on. I remember going in there for the first time and kind of like you said, Joe, that first step, because for me at the time, walking was scary too, because I mean, my heart was just uncontrollable. And when it's your heart that's messed up, I mean, that's the beat of your body. And so it's really frightening when that's not working how it's supposed to work. And so I remember that first step onto the treadmill, I was like, Brandon, I don't think I can. Like, I just don't think I'm ready. And I remember him just being like, you never will be. So now's the time. And so he just would stand beside me and I had a heart monitor on my finger and one around my chest. And it was just walking on the treadmill day after day until one day he was like, I think we finally regulated it a little bit. Let's try jogging. And I mean, that was just frightening because I mean, I just got walking down again. So we would try jogging and it was like 1 minute of jogging. And then I would walk for 5 to like slow it back down. And I mean, it took weeks and weeks and months before I finally felt confident to go back out on the track and do something by myself again. But I will just always remember that as the turning point for my passion and admiration for healthcare, because I mean, they really give us the quality of our life back. And it was just a really frightening time to be like a stranger in your own body, because I didn't really feel comfortable in my own skin for a while. And so I just will always have that as my moment where I'm like, this is what healthcare does for us. So when I came to Stillwater and this opportunity to be an intern for Stillwater Medical opened up, I was just immediately intrigued, because I don't quite have the brain wiring for healthcare, but I love community and I love talking to people. So being able to serve in the PR marketing department for Stillwater Medical is incredible, because it just combines all my interests into one. I mean, that was just a pivotal moment where I was like, oh, this is what matters. And the people that showed up for me during that time when I couldn't really show up for myself, I will just always appreciate and have a deep love for.
You know, Kate, and I heard your story the other day for the first time. My jaw hit the table when you told me what your heart rate was just standing up. I was going, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I really could empathize with that thought process of just not knowing what it was going to be like. I mean, at your age compared to where I was 40 years old at the time. You're in your 20s and you're standing up and you're having trouble keeping your balance and not falling down, not passing out. I just can't imagine what was running through your head in those moments, especially coming from someone who had, in a manner of speaking, control their body. You were a runner. You would go out and you understood what your heart rate, where your max rate was going to be and what you should be training at. And you're standing there and your heart rate's higher than that. I just can't imagine.
What I resonate so much with your story is the fact that you can do something now to kind of contribute to what we're doing here at Stillwater Medical. Because I feel the same. Like I shared, like I faint anytime there's needles involved. I was interviewing Shelby Wright the other day, who works at our wound care facility. So shout out to Shelby Wright, if anybody listening knows her. But she has such a passion for what she does in wound care and for what she sees and experiences and things that I could never, ever do. But she does them so well and with excellence and with passion. And so the fact that we can all kind of contribute in some way, I think is a beautiful thing.
You know, I do think that the hospital system is such a big organization, and it takes so many different personalities, so many different skill sets. I mean, so many different parts to make it work. It's kind of like you were talking about Shelby. She can do things that you can't. Well, you can do things that others can't. It just takes all these parts working together to make it work. And I'm with you. I look at the people, let's say, in the emergency department, and I just think of them as unicorns, every one of them. They're just such unique personalities to be able to do what they do. But then if you really start sinking in and looking at people in other areas and really understanding what they do, you get the same sense of, wow, these are all just really special people and they care. I'll go back to that a million times. They care about what happens to the people that come in there.
I think there's definitely a reason. What I've observed since I've been here is there's definitely a reason why patient experience ranks so highly here, because that does seem to be the focus. Whatever we're attacking, that does seem to be the focus of the experience, is what's best for the patient, and that's going to drive our decision making. So it's been fun to be a fly on the wall of that. I mean, I'm brand new to healthcare. I've been here a little over a year, and so never did I ever think I would be on this side of things, but it has been really fun. And part of what inspired us to kind of start this podcast was to let everybody else kind of listen in on those stories that we get to hear every day of major life change and people making others' lives better. And so I think that's our hope with this whole Still Caring podcast that we're doing, is that it creates a space for people to share their experiences, and that maybe by learning from the experiences of others, we can better care for ourselves and then make our community stronger at the end of the day too. Okay, so we're going to end every episode with a challenge to care. So something that you're going to do yourself or that you would challenge others in the community to do to improve health in the community. Do you all have a challenge to care that you would like to share with us today?
The big thing for me right now, we have so much going on and there's so much stress in our lives for a multitude of reasons right now, and I won't go into them. But I think the thing that I would challenge people to do is take some time in the morning, take some time around lunch, take some time in the evenings to just breathe. Really focus on their breathing, clear their mind of everything else, and just be in that moment and relieve some of that stress, because sooner or later, it's just going to build up and build up and build up. And there has to be some sort of a release. But if you're focused on yourself, if you're focused on your breathing, and you figure out how to calm down your engine in those moments, it will help you. It will help you get through the day. It'll help you get through the week. It'll help you get through the month. But you just have to learn to relax yourself and really breathe. Not just shallow breaths. I'm talking deep breaths and deep thoughts.
You have to take us through a breathing exercise one of these days. That would be a great, it would be a mini episode on the feed.
Some guided meditation.
Kate, what about you?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Joe. I think my challenge to care, kind of how we all had kind of been saying in our own words, is that first step. Just allow yourself to be scared, but take that first step to regaining your quality of life back, whatever that may look like. If that's taking some big deep breaths in the morning, or going to the doctor again for the first time in years, or getting a screening that you're a little bit scared to do. I think it's important to allow yourself to be scared and then do it anyway. And if I had let myself be scared and not taken that first step, I'd be in a lot different place. So I just think it's really important that you just kind of take hold and charge of your life again.
For me, I think mine is going to be like the blackberry cobbler, like just show up, you know, like just show up for someone. I think in today's world, we all know people that are hurting, that are struggling. That might be a health related issue, but it might not be. It might just be something to do with their mental health or something to do with the circumstances that are surrounding them. So I would just encourage people to reach out and just tell people that you're there and that you're thinking about them, and see where that grows and where that goes. Because I know in my own life, that has been such a blessing. When I'm in a hard space, just relying on the people around me has been the greatest gift that I could ever give myself, is to just open up and let others know that I'm here.
And you know, to that point, Abby, I think women are so much better at doing that than men are. I think just the mothering instincts, they're just powerful in women, and men feel, in my experience, men feel a little bit awkward saying that to other guys. I'm hopeful that we're kind of turning a corner, because I do hear that more often. I do hear men reaching out to men and say, hey, I'm here for you if you need anything. And it is a very powerful statement. When someone says that to you, you feel so good inside, because someone is, they're venturing out into an uncomfortable area to make that statement to you. And I don't know, it's just very uplifting at a time when we all need a nice lift.
It's a reminder we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks to you guys for being in this together with me. I feel like this is a crazy idea that we're just doing. So we're excited. We're ready to kind of birth this into the world and get this out there. We hope it touches your heart as much as it has already touched all of ours. And stick around for some of the great conversations that we're going to have with community members throughout this year. We're really excited for what's coming.
It's going to be so much fun. Cannot wait to get this thing going.
Yes. Thanks for listening for us, guys.